Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 232 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave.
Welcome back, guys.
We're back.
Do you feel good?
We're ready.
You got momentum from last week?
Pumped up.
What was missing from last week, Dave?
Space story?
A space sex story.
Nice.
We talked about airports. We talked about the Mile High Club. And you talked about the moon landing and the Apollo missions. And I had this amazing story that I read that I forgot to share. And I'm really pumped about it.
I'm really hoping
it's... She's been talking about it all week.
It's not the sex geckos?
Not the sex geckos, no.
You know what I'm
from John
about?
Oliver, yeah.
The satellite that lost control, the Russian satellite that had geckos having sex in it.
Yeah, he did a whole big memorial thing about it, right?
Oh, I know, we saw that.
It was like season one. It was way early.
We'll put the link in the link dump. Okay, so back in... few years ago, probably 20 years ago at this point, kid gets a co-op at NASA, future astronaut. Mm-hmm. And so he's working in NASA and he decides to steal some moon rocks.
Like you do.
Yeah. You like have this amazing opportunity to potentially be an astronaut. You're like, oh, well, I'm going to steal some moon samples. So he like does this whole operation, gets some moon rocks. One of his accomplices, he's 24, 23 at this point. Friend is 22, 23. They go down to Orlando, Florida on the 33rd anniversary of the moon landing on July 20th. They put the moon rocks that they stole underneath some covers and did the deed on top of the moon rocks.
Nice.
And they're interviewing him from prison. And they're like, why did you steal them? He's like, I just wanted to be loved for something. Like, well, why did you decide to, do it on top of them? And he's like, well, how many people have had sex on the moon? And I don't think that anyone has. And I certainly don't think a lot of people have done it on moon rocks.
I'm trying to chase the logic string here. I lost it.
It all circles back to why not? Just crime of opportunity, really.
Yeah. Also, though, they're rocks. So why would you put them on the... What?
But putting the blanket over the top is like, okay.
It's not like it's a moon sponge. I don't know. It's just rocks. But yeah, he's serving 8 years, or he has served 8 years in prison.
Yep.
Because the FBI set up a sting. They were the potential buyers and arrested him. And yeah. Nice. And now he's talking about, privatized space travel. And
something to tell the grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great icebreaker. Never have I ever been in jail for stealing moon rocks. What?
Damn.
Okay, that was my story. I was excited about it in the sense that I thought it was entertaining. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off today?
I will kick us off today. So, I did some research into how much it costs in electricity to keep your iPhone 6 Plus charged for a year. So, prerequisites, this guy basically completely discharged his phone, hooked it up to a meter, charged it overnight, let it sit, took it out in the morning and read the reading, multiplied it out, and then multiplied it by the price of electricity on average.
Mm-hmm.
So
got it. Okay.
So we came up to a dollar amount for keeping your iPhone charged for a year.
Wow.
Huh. There is a lot of factors in this I don't know.
There's so many. I don't know anything about electricity or bills. Or I know that I hate that my iPhone 7 doesn't have a stupid headphone jack, but that's not what you're asking. F you, Apple.
I would throw out, I don't think it's going to be that much.
What is an average electricity bill?
Like $250 a month?
$250?
Well, I got a tiny little place, but I think that's what we're about that.
For electric?
I don't know. My roommates would always just divide it up in half, and now Joey just is like, here's the amount.
We have an electric stove and everything, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay, electric stove.
Yeah.
I got that gas stove, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to light this house on fire, knock on wood, every time. I have no guess, so I'm going to say $100.
God damn it.
Yeah, I was going to hover around that, too, $150.
I feel like it's going to be stupid, $500.
So you're all incredibly over.
Okay.
And if you want to guess it again, it's under a dollar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
50 cents. I'm taking the middle before anybody else does.
A penny.
Dang it.
Oh.
I'll take 2 cents. No, 73 cents.
73?
Yeah.
So we're at 84 cents a year.
Yeah.
So how his math worked out, it's about 19.2 watt hours per day. So at about 12 cents per kilowatt hour of electricity, you do all your math. 84 cents.
That sounds no fun. Ooh. Cool.
He was looking to cut his electricity bill and decided it wasn't worth it not to charge his phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because a pack of, like, if you had a AA battery that would be the insert into your phone instead, like, you know, remote, like, those are right. expensive.
That's good to know, though. I'm not throwing money away on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Michael, why don't you go next?
Okay. Everybody here seen The Lion King, yes?
Yeah. Yep. Or Hamlet.
I looked over at Lindsay just to be sure.
No, I've got a good Disney repertoire.
Movie or musical?
Movie.
Movie, okay.
I've seen both.
Yeah, me too.
So Scar.
Yeah.
Not always named Scar.
Yeah, he's got a scar.
He has a scar, therefore he went by Scar. What was Scar's original name?
Ooh. Jonathan's face. I wish that I could put your face on this podcast because he's like, what the heck? Like, you spoke another language to him.
So Michael warned us before we went on. He said, even if you've seen the movie, you'll still have no idea.
Yes, that is very true. It's not referenced in the movie, but it's referenced on a released Disney book that is the childhood of Mufasa and Scar.
That's still canonical then.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's in the canon.
I made sure it was in the canon.
Okay.
I picture Scar and Mufasa like Loki and Thor a little bit.
I could see that.
And so, I don't know, like that brother dynamic. But that's not... Loki is not my answer.
Loki, I would not think
it's very clearly not my answer. I don't even have anywhere to fathom. Is it a lion-related name? Like, is there a pun involved?
It's not a pun. It is a Swahili word, though, much like all of the other names in...
thank goodness we all speak Swahili.
I'm embarrassingly not up on my Swahili much as I maybe should be.
I think all the Swahili I know is from The Lion King.
Right.
Simba.
Simba, Mufasa, Rafiki...
Yeah, those are the only words I know. So
okay.
I don't think it's Hakuna Matata.
it is actually Hakuna. No, I'm kidding.
Oh gosh, I would have dropped the mic and just walked out of the room if that was true.
It was Taka, T-A-K-A.
T-A-K-A, okay.
Yes. It was revealed that he was once named Taka and had become upset when he learned that his older brother Mufasa had been chosen to be king over himself.
Who's older? Is Mufasa older? Okay, well, yeah, Scar. How traditional monarchies work, okay? Jeez.
Well, I guess that's also why you hated Simba, is because Scar was next in line until Simba left, until Simba was born.
I get it. Like, you know, that's not a really viable form of government, really, right?
It's not, but I'd almost want to be that person. I'd want to be, like, the second oldest. It's like, oh, wait, he's got this?
And if he has a son? Yeah.
That life looks pretty good.
Yeah. I don't have to do anything.
Prince Harry's looking up. But, you know, that's in a happy British sense and, like, you know, the tundra. Whereas, you know, if you're Game of Thrones, then you're really screwed.
Yeah.
He might want to take the throne. We might as well just kill him now just to be safe.
Right. No, it's better to be fourth or fifth oldest at that point. Just like, oh, no, there's a list. The reason I also found this interesting, Taka translates to waste in Swahili.
They really aren't cutting him any slack.
No, they're really not.
How like, sad.
So, like, no wonder he's the bad guy. His dad named him garbage.
Yeah, what does Mufasa mean?
Mufasa, I believe, means he is good. I'd have to double check
that. Come on, man.
Like, you know how everybody has, there's the good son and the bad son? They actually named him the good son and the bad son.
Talk about a self-fulfilling, like, prophecy. How do you expect him to succeed? Ugh.
Well, it's funny, the reason, how, and then it goes into the story of how he gets the scar.
How does he get the scar? I need to know now.
I was going to ask.
We've gone this far.
Essentially.
It was Mufasa's fault, right?
Kind of. In that Taka was trying to get Mufasa killed.
Okay.
Like, again. Again.
Well, why wouldn't you exile him at that point?
Because he wasn't in charge.
I feel like, you know, I'm not a parent, and Dave, maybe you can speak more to this, but I feel like, I don't want to speak for parents everywhere, but if I had one child try to kill the other child, I think that my household probably would undergo some changes.
It would be at least a talking to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No iPhone for a week.
So, Taka tricks his brother into going down to a watering hole where a cape buffalo named Boma is refusing to share the water with the rest of the Pride Lands, which at the time was in a drought.
They're always... When are the Pride Lands not in drought?
At the end of the movie?
That's true. How nice of it that the weather synced up with Simba's rule. That's really worked out great for them.
While Mufasa's trying to reason with Boma on behalf of the king, I'm assuming, Taka roars and tells Boma that he must move by order of the Lion King or fight Mufasa. This leads to a fight between the water buffalo and Mufasa.
Yeah, I'm happy that I know that water buffalo are real.
Mufasa escapes with the aid of Rafiki.
Oh, hey, Rafiki. Look at you doing some stuff.
And then Boma goes after Taka instead. That's how he gets the scar.
Wow. I like to picture Rafiki doing bicep curls with rocks.
And then Mufasa goes back and actually saves Taka.
Wow. Huh. Yeah. Is that a movie or is it in the book?
It's a book. So it's a book that was released by Disney called, it was right here, A Tale of Two Brothers.
Hmm.
It was part of a series called Lion King Six New Adventures.
Oh, all right. Well, that's very, very cool.
There you go.
Who hasn't gone yet? Have I not gone?
You have not.
Oh, so my moon rock fact isn't my actual fact. I don't know how I would make that into a question.
A man was arrested
how
for how
people
many?
How many people have had sex on moon rocks?
Yeah.
At least two.
Yeah, we can't confirm that, you know? Okay, so the Marianas Trench. You guys know this is the deepest point in Earth.
Sure.
Yes?
Yep.
At its deepest point, how deep is it? Give me a rough estimate.
Well, I think I know.
Very.
This.
Very, yes, that's correct. This isn't actually my fact. I'm building to it. Let it build. Oh, you said, oh, no?
I think it's...
That's rude.
A couple hundred miles. Maybe it was 300?
No. I think it's 7 miles.
7 miles, yeah. It's just,
it is much closer.
Just under 7 miles. So if you took Mount Everest and you put it in the Marianas Trench, this deepest point, you would still have a mile to get to the surface of water.
Oh, like
that's how deep
this
area is. So my next question, how many people have been to the bottom total in recorded human history?
I know of one.
I'm thinking it's like three. There's no way it's in double digits.
I know for sure one, so I'm going to say one.
I was at about three, so I'll go four and play Price is Right.
Yeah, so it is three people. It is three people.
So
back in 1875, they didn't obviously go down, but this is when they first measured it. They took you guys know, like a plumb bob. It was basically a string and, you know, a little thing and a weighted thing at the bottom. And so they're in their boat and they just like drop this rope. And for whatever reason, they had a 5 mile rope and they figured out it was 5 miles. The next time that it was explored was in 1960. Some guys in Challenger 2 went down from the U.S. Navy and they investigated. It took 5 hours into this descent. They were really only at the bottom for like 20 minutes. Didn't really collect a lot of stuff. The most recent one was just a few years ago. And I think, Michael, you know this, if you know what I'm talking about, the Deep Sea Challenge. Any guesses? You know who it is.
I know who it is.
Any guesses to you guys who this third person was and the first person ever to have a solo descent into... it's called the Challenge Deep.
I think I can go 3 for 3 on this one.
Yeah?
Was it James Cameron?
It was.
Yeah.
Look at you going 3 for 3. Yeah. So James Cameron was the first one to ever do a solo descent down there and only the third person ever. So they did a big series, I think it was Nat Geo.
Right.
And obviously one of his first films was The Abyss. And so he's been this big underwater explorer for his research for Titanic. He was actually manning a lot of the submarines, which a lot of people know. But I didn't really quite realize that he was actually a pilot and an underwater explorer. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hmm. I don't know which question I'm going to ask for trivia, but
it'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise. Yeah. And you actually need permits to go. Like explore, like you and I couldn't go just like, let's go check this out. You need to get permits through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services.
If memory serves, when they were doing the research on the Titanic, those submersibles were actually belonging to the U.S. Navy, I want to say.
And they made
a deal with the Navy that like, you guys explore this other thing for us and we'll let you go look at the Titanic. I'm pretty sure that was the Titanic.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, the Marianas Trench is a U.S. Protected zone. It's actually... part of the national, I don't know, it's a national park, but it's a national monument thing from G.W. Bush in 2009.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Technically U.S. kind of control, but cool. Deep All parts right. of the ocean.
Very cool.
Submarines, yeah. Who's next?
All right, well, I have one that's then completely off topic.
Yeah.
And
this is something that I've stumbled on this online like a couple years ago, but figured why not roll this out for the podcast.
Oh, I love it.
This is, and I mentioned this beforehand, the oldest ham that is still edible.
Ham.
Ham.
Okay.
Like a cooked ham?
Yeah.
Well, not
it's a preserved ham.
I was going to say, it's got to be preserved.
How do they know
ham
that
in
it's
my
still
fridge
edible?
doesn't last more than a week.
How do they know that it's still edible?
I don't. They did testing on it, or I guess it probably doesn't taste great, but. It's,
Matt, the intern, goes in once
die.
A week and has lunch.
So how old do you think the oldest ham is?
The oldest ham.
Edible ham.
I think any ham's edible if you believe in yourself.
I'm going to throw out an arbitrary 100 years. No frame of reference, no logic behind it, just a number.
By that exact logic, 200 years.
200, all right.
Okay, I love ham and cheese sandwiches. I love them.
Sure.
I eat them all the time. And I know that they don't last very long. And I know my deli meat ham doesn't last long. But I think that this is like, if you have cured ham, it's not the same thing.
Right.
I'm just, you guys gave no logic at all. So I'm trying to logic. I'm just failing pretty miserably. I know that honey, it never expires. So it's like 3,000 year old honey. So it's less than honey.
Honey baked ham.
Ooh.
Right?
There you go.
Yeah. Still zero help with me determining it.
Oh, you wanted help? I wasn't trying to be helpful.
I'm going to go with 50 years.
50 years. It is 115 years
Woo!
Old.
What?
It was cured in 1902.
Cured ham, though. Got that part right.
You did. And here's the coolest part about it. It's in a museum in Virginia.
Oh.
And it's on a 24-hour live webcam feed. If you Google ham cam, it's there.
Okay.
This is something I didn't know about, but now need in my life.
Yeah, I even checked this morning that it's still up, and it is still up. There is the ham cam.
And it's still...
It is a 24-hour live feed of a 115-year-old ham.
I'm pumped. I love the panda cam, the lion cub cam. I love all of the cams at the national zoos, but this might be my new top one.
You know what I need now?
It doesn't do much. It's just there.
Does it rotate? I'm picturing it on like a circular plate that spins.
It's just in a case, and every now and again, you'll see tour groups kind of walking past and taking pictures.
Where in Virginia is this?
It's in Smithfield, Virginia.
Oh, all right. Well, next trip, I'm heading there, yeah.
Field trip, for sure.
Here's what you need now. You need the ham movie heist.
The ham movie heist,
You can call it the Great Ham Scam.
It's writing itself already.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm halfway there.
I want Nicholas
Spielberg, call me.
I want Nicholas Cage to be involved, and he has to steal the really old ham because there's a national secret, like, cured to the side of it.
I'm thinking a combo. Nick Cage and the remaining cast of Ocean's 11.
Oh, snap. I would watch the crap out of that movie. Hollywood, bring. Please make this happen. Thank you. That's
I think
amazing.
That's our secret phrase, Hollywood, make this happen.
Hollywood, make it happen. I love it. I love it.
I thought it would be Google Ham Cam, but that's just...
I was at the Great Ham Scam. It's pretty much everything Michael said I've written down so far.
Yeah. And I also wrote down when you said any ham is edible if you believe in yourself. let's stick to the original one, though, which is Hollywood.
Hollywood, get it done.
Hollywood, get it done. Because if you know you're going to support, I'm going to start a petition. It's going to be amazing. I do want to also look up how long Spam lasts, because that lasts forever, which is why it was so big in World War II and things. So I want to know what the oldest Spam can is. And would we put a live feed of that?
Yeah.
All in due time.
I want to know what else is at this museum.
One of my favorite shows is Mysteries at the Museum. So they have to, I'm going to write them and say, hey, do a special on this one. How do you feel about people, before we wrap up, last little topic while we're thinking of museums, how do you feel, and maybe you guys do this, taking pictures of artifacts at museums? Discuss.
I never go back and look at them.
But do you do them in the moment?
So when we go to museums, typically my dad will take pictures of us next to something, because then there's a reason to look at the picture. I'll never go back and just like look at the pictures I've taken of the Constitution or the Declaration when you go to the archives.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness for those documents, because you have the freedom to ignore that.
Yeah, I think I've taken pictures of them every time I've been there, and I've yet to ever look at them.
I'm not sure I have an opinion. I don't personally. I mean, and it's actually kind of frustrating when my mom complains about how I don't have anything on my social media. I was like, you live in Washington, D.C.
I give her enough for both of us.
Right, exactly. but she's like, you live in Washington, D.C. You're in the museums and you're doing all this interesting thing. How do you not have more pictures? Like, because I was there last week.
Yeah.
See, I never go.
Well, I like play kickball in the mall, so I'm there. There's the Capitol building.
Yeah. I'll be back next week.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get you a picture next time.
Photos. Yeah, I agree with him. I would never go back and look at it. It's, you know, you can always just Google a picture of the Mona Lisa or whatever. You don't need to.
That's the one that came to mind when I was there. Everybody was just crammed up front trying to take pictures, and I'm like, you guys know what this looks like.
And I've heard in person it's very underwhelming. It's much smaller than
it's a lot smaller than you would think.
I haven't seen the Mona Lisa. What are you talking about? No, I'm kidding. it kind of drives me a little bit nuts, especially because I like to read all of the museum things, which if you follow me on Twitter, normally you'll see questions after I've visited a place, because I find out, like, the Library of Congress, I asked about Lincoln's second inaugural address for like weeks.
I think when you went up to Boston, we had like 3 weeks of Boston related podcast questions.
I went on the trolley by myself. Yeah, because I asked about Paul Revere's kids. But anyway, the people taking the pictures always get in the way of me trying to read the thing. So it kind of drives me nuts. But I will sometimes take pictures if I need to remember something about it. Like, I took a picture of the Rosetta Stone. I was like, I want to remember that I was there.
Sure.
And it was a big rock, and it was pretty important, I guess.
Right.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up. If anybody else has anything to say? No?
No.
We all good. Yeah, all right, cool. So this is the We Don't Know Either podcast. We don't know either. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dave.
And we don't know either.
Bye.